नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
Thank you.
where the Supreme Lord appears as the super soul with all the living entities, and he is situated like the verse from our course 1861, Ishwar Sarvabhutana Vidyashara Vidyashari. Then Ramaya Sarvabhutana Yantra Bhutani Maya. This yantra, this body in which the living entity is stuck, we say. The Supreme Lord is directing all the wanderings of the living entity. And he is a very close companion of the living entity within the heart, in the region of the heart, Hridesha. And what Supreme Lord does is that when the living entity is busy performing all the activities in this life, all the activities of enjoying the senses, all the activities of basically completely under the control of God's material nature, this form of the Supreme Lord remembers everything. This form of the Supreme Lord remembers everything what the living entity does. And then based on the desire and the combination of the karma, what the living entity has performed, this form the Supreme Lord grants next body. And he is the witness to it. In the purport to that 1861 Prabhupada makes a very interesting point. He gives a very good example also. Prabhupada says, as soon as the living entity is placed in another body, he has to work under the spell of the body's situation. A person seated in a high-speed motor car goes faster than the one seated in a slower car. Though the living entities, the driver may be the same, but because the body is different, they act differently. But who ordains it, who makes it happen, is one of the roles of the super soul. And if you remove this role, if suppose super soul is out of the picture, then this very important role or this very important change which we all go through, how will it happen? That's why it's a very crucial role the super soul plays. Similarly, by the order of the super soul, Prabhupada continues, material nature fashions a particular type of body to a particular type of living entity so that he may work according to his past desire. So this is not few thousand of living entities super soul is dealing with. This is unlimited living entities practically. The number is so enormous, so huge, that the Supreme Lord has to deal with all the living entities, remember what they have done, what desires they have, and then based on that plant the body. It's in human calculation, it's unfathomable. This is not possible to even understand how it happens. And that leads to the atheistic people call it as myth. That what super soul is in the heart, remembering all the activities. This is one person who is first of all in every living entity's heart, which is uncountable. And then he remembers the unlimited desires that one living entity has in one life. And then he records it. And then based on the desire of that living entity, he grants the next body. And so this is my theory. Because it's beyond human calculation. And this is why the Supreme Lord is the word used is Anupalakshita-sthana. When you cannot locate him, you cannot discern his activities, his movements, how will you understand the way he works, his potency, his shakti. And Prabhupada says in the Purport, this is the greatness of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, very difficult for someone who doesn't have faith based on scriptures, faith based on one's personal realization on the path of spiritual practices. It's very difficult to even fathom it, that someone is calculating it all for us and very perfectly uses. Sometimes on this, one time I was on sponsorship and one Christian person stopped me. And you know, sometimes they are known to waste your time and time because they don't want you to distribute books. So he was talking, and I was doing first, second time on the street, and I didn't know that. Later the devotees told me, just move on. And he started discussing all this philosophy, the funda of karma, this who makes sure what good or bad result you get. And then after full argument, then I just ask him a simple question, then what is your answer? What decides for someone to enjoy or suffer? And the only thing he could say was good luck and bad luck. And I said, such a complicated structure is there, which is so many desires, and then based on that, there is activities that you have done, which is our karma, and someone is calculating, and we get the perfect body based on our desire, and or a perfect reaction based on what we have done in the past, and he is saying it's good luck and bad luck, everything is just by chance. So how it's all working? And as soon as I came to this good luck, bad luck, and started questioning it, then only the dharma session finished. And he had to leave, because then how do you answer it? If you don't understand this aspect of the super soul, how do you answer that what's taking place, what's making it all happen? So, very amazing aspect of the Supreme Lord, super soul. And that's why, because he is witnessing everything, nothing can be hidden from the Supreme Lord. And you know, before coming to Melbourne, this is in 2005, I was attending some course, and there was a boy with us. And this boy, very often, if he has to do something wrong, if he has to go and smoke or drink something away from the teacher, away from public, he would make one statement. Jungle no more na chaki sare. If a peacock dances in the forest, who is watching? It's a saying in Hindi. If a peacock dances in the forest, who watches? So hide and do. Basically, you hide and do what you want. Who is watching? But this aspect of the Supreme Lord is the witness. And that's why it's very important to rectify one's intentions and one's desire very consciously. This is while preparing this was a very striking point that just hit me. That how can you hide from the Supreme Lord? He knows it. And the person who has to be the result, if I cannot hide from him, then whom am I trying to hide from? I can hide from many people, but they are not going to give you the result anyways. It's the Supreme Lord who is going to give you the result. So why am I hiding? Why am I thinking? Like, it is my illusion that I think that I can hide or run away from him, and don't try and work on my internal tsunami, my internal chaos, consciously. And that's why Pandi Vati was mentioning, he was quoting his Gurudev Prabhu, and he was saying that one should be very conscious about what is the driving engine in one's bhakti. That means, what is the inner engine, inner core, inner desire, which is directing one's external bhakti practices. And it's a very striking point that what is my driving engine? It's a question which all devotees can ask, or should ask oneself. That what's making me do what I do, or at least externally what appears me making act in such a way, I'm coming to the Tilak or I may be in ashram or whatever. But what's making me do that is a question we ask ourselves, because Supreme Lord knows it. And he's the one who's going to give the result, so can't hide. So that I was thinking on that, there is such a striking point that can't hide from the Supreme Lord. And then 15:15 Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Sarvasya Chahavriti Sanyasya. It's me who is seated in everyone's heart, and I am giving you all the remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. So, very important that at least our slate is clear in front of the Supreme Lord. At least when we face the Supreme Lord, it's very clear. And our intentions and our desires are very clear. And if it's not clear, then one can work for it, of course. And you know, in 1861, in that purport, when Prabhupada explains this aspect of the Supreme Lord, then he very emphatically states towards the end, therefore, one must surrender to him, because he knows everything. And immediately, the next verse, Krishna himself says, एव शरणं गच्छ सर्वभावेन भारत तत्प्रसार परम शांति स्थान प्राप्यसि शाश्वतम्। Now Krishna says, O Shaina Bharata, surrender unto him utterly. He's not saying surrender unto me. Krishna says surrender unto him because he's speaking about the super soul aspect at this stage. In 2-3 verse after this verse, Krishna says surrender unto him. Even this he's talking about the same person, but in this verse Krishna is saying, so surrender unto the Supreme Lord, surrender unto him, the super soul. By his grace you will attain transcendental peace and the supreme and eternal reward. So, of course, Krishna is talking about himself, but sometimes he takes third person's role and directs Arjuna to the Supreme Lord. So, in the beginning of this purport, Srila Prabhupada mentioned the third aspect of the Supreme Lord, the third feature, that is his personal feature, where Prabhupada says, that the Supreme Lord is always residing in Vrindavan. He's residing in Vrindavan and he never leaves Vrindavan. You know, you see, sometimes some devotees they claim that they have seen Krishna in Vrindavan. But in many times it's imagination. In some exceptions are there, they have actually seen Krishna, many acharyas are there. But many times it's imagination. And that's why Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj was not very keen on telling devotees that you go to Vrindavan and see Krishna. Try to find Krishna in the proper words that my Guru Maharaj would say that do not try to find Krishna in the bushes of Vrindavan. Rather, one should try to see Krishna in the instructions of the spiritual master. So, because Krishna, even though he is present in Vrindavan, but he is in his upper bed form, his unmanifested form, he is present in Vrindavan. But when devotees do go to Vrindavan, the holy places, if a bit of genuine devotion is there, when devotees visit the holy Dham, they can feel the presence of Krishna. They do feel the presence of Krishna. But when many devotees start to claim that they have seen Krishna, then there is some issue in that. And there is a very nice pastime in Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhurya where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was going on street and he saw there is a commotion happening on the street, and he asked people, "Where are you running? What did you see?" And they said that we saw Krishna. We saw Krishna last night in Kaliya, that place. Krishna appeared, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu smiled and walked off. So 2-3 days went, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's own servant, Balbhadra Bhattacharya, asked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, "Can I tonight go and see Krishna?" And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu slapped him. He said, "Oh, you want to go and see Krishna?" And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu quotes the verse. He not quotes, but he says, "Krishna kena darshan diva kali kale nija bhavan murkha loka kare kolahale." He says, "Why would Krishna appear in the age of Kali?" Foolish people who are mistaken are simply causing agitation and making a tumult. Krishna will not appear in the age of Kali. He is there in his upper platform. He will not appear for common people. And then that's what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told his servant. Tonight you will see Krishna. And that's what happened. Some few devotees or some people came to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu later in the day. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked him, "What is all this happening? What is this Krishna that I see?" They said, "No, it's not Krishna, it's a old man. In the night, he is having some torch in his hand and he is doing fishing." So the boat is considered as Kaliya's body. The boatman is Krishna and the torch they are seeing is as foot of Kaliya. So this is the Krishna they are watching basically. and so there is another point he was making. But then these devotees, they said, "But we can see Krishna. We can see Krishna, right? We are watching you." And then they did not say, "Oh, Vishnu, no problem, Krishna, I need more offer." But if you are making a point, Prabhu says that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is actually making this point referring to scriptures, because according to scripture, Krishna appeared in Dwapara Yuga, not in Kali Yuga. He never appears himself in Kali Yuga. In Kali Yuga, he is covered. And what is that covered form? That is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Krishna himself never appears. But some cases we have seen Krishna showing his form. That is, we see, we hear the person of Madhavanapuri when Krishna came and gave him milk. In Ralvanda's Thakur's pastime, we saw how Radharani herself came to cover Ralvanda's head. In pastime of Vilgunda Thakur, again Krishna was coming as a covered body to give milk. So some, these pastimes we hear, but how rare is that? And some other great personalities would have seen Krishna. So, and this is the greatness of the Supreme Lord, that even though He is present in the spiritual world by His potencies, by His Shakti, He can be everywhere. A classic example is Prahlad Maharaj. He is in the pillar or appeared from the pillar. But that takes a bit of realization for a devotee to come up to. And it's not easy. It's not easy to actually see Krishna everywhere. Now, I was reading recently, sometime back, that book, Prabhupada's book, I Believe Your Temple. And in that book, there is a massive fight that devotees went through to basically acquire the Bombay land. It is so intense that while reading, you yourself are in the fight, and you're really sympathizing, and you can really feel how much devotees have to go through. And once before, also I was mentioning that every single devotee and every single donor, this is the Srila Prabhupada put in that hand. Everyone, like he was on one side, everyone else on one side. And later, when after so many years of fight, they acquired the land and the temple was built, the temple was established. Srila Prabhupada revealed his heart to his disciples. Then everyone thought that I am overly attached to this place. Some people thought that I am old now. Some disciples commented that Prabhupada knows he has done a mistake, but because he is old, he is rigid, he is not accepting his mistake. So they came to this conclusion. And they were offensive, but they still love Prabhupada's heart. They still serve Krishna Prabhupada with their full heart. But this came to that stage, and the intensity they were going through, how much pressure they all had. And later, when they acquired that, Prabhupada revealed his heart and he said that, because I had promised Radharasi Hari that I will build this temple. Now a person outside, if they see this, then five, six years of crazy fight, so much that hundreds of devotees had to suffer because two pieces of marble you were sent. There were two structures standing in front of you, they said, I will build this temple, you just stay here. And you were just so hellbound to get a temple because in front of two marble pieces you said, I'll build a temple. If Prabhupada was not seeing Krishna in Radharasa Hari, how can he take it so seriously? It is such a point actually. You see, if Prabhupada is not seeing Radha Krishna in the deity, why did he take his words so seriously that the whole movement, all the donors, 100%, I'm saying, there was no one in support of Prabhupada in his initial decision. When they saw he wants it, then they thought, okay, because Guru wants, we also want. But no one actually wanted it. And Prabhupada really stuck to his words. And later he was telling the devotees, because I had promised Krishna, so I was fulfilling my promise. And this is the vision of these devotees, these great personalities, who can see Krishna. And the Supreme Lord also reciprocates. And what Prabhupada said, when they got the success, Srila Prabhupada said, oh, you all disciples, all devotees, you were so sincerely working hard and praying, so Krishna fulfilled your desire. And what everyone knew, it was Prabhupada's desire, and they were just trying to fulfill Prabhupada's desire. All the leaders, practically speaking, all the leaders left their project. And others wanted to leave, and Prabhupada was constantly telling them, no, you stay. And even new leaders were coming, because it was so intense. And then later in the book, I found out that Prabhupada in one place makes a point. He said from 1970 to 1977, Prabhupada said, I have ignored Western religion for this Bombay project. And in the 7 years, 554 days Prabhupada stayed in Bombay. Because Prabhupada knew, if this Bombay project becomes successful, and he has promised Krishna that he will make it successful, that is gateway to religion in India. And Prabhupada said, I ignored Western religion for this project. And towards the end, when Prabhupada cannot walk, cannot move, and he is practically emaciated, he told the leaders there that, please get this project going. Let me die peacefully now. I have worked so hard for this project. How much Prabhupada was serious? He was not attached to a building. He was attached to his promise to Krishna. That I have worked so hard to get this project done. Please complete it in front of me so that I can die peacefully. We actually see how amazing is this Prabhupada's relationship to Krishna. And devotees were bewildered when they understood this reciprocation which Chaitanya Prabhupada was having with Krishna, Radharasi. And all the devotees who survived and thrived from this project because they were catching this exchange of Chaitanya Prabhupada, and they were just trying to live up to that. And they were fulfilling Chaitanya Prabhupada's desire towards the devotees. But still, even the Prabhupada saw almost full completion, he didn't even see the opening of the temple, and devotees were so heartbroken. Prabhupada passed away in 1977 November, and 2 months later the temple were opened in January 1978, and devotees were in tears that they couldn't get Prabhupada to see the opening basically. But Prabhupada did see practically the major construction, the temple room, deities, worship nicely and all. So this is a pure devotee's vision. This is the vision of a devotee who understands that yes, the Supreme Lord in these three features will relate to a devotee. And then based on one's relationship, one connects to the Supreme Lord. Because even though the greatness of the Supreme Lord is that even though he is in the spiritual world and he never leaves Guru Vrindavan, through his expansions, he takes many incarnations. He is working in different forms. And you know, we have those classic example of Narada Muni trying to catch up when he went to Dwarka to see all the house of palaces of Krishna, 16,000 palaces of Krishna, trying to see. How is Krishna dealing with so many wives simultaneously? Narada Muni knew, but he is showing the world. And Narada Muni can travel with the spirit of the mind. So he goes to one palace, Krishna is with his wife eating. Another palace, Krishna's wife is hanging. Another palace, Krishna is braiding the hairs of his wife. Another palace, something else. And Narada Muni watches after 16,100 palace when it's time for Krishna's assembly work at Edinburgh. All 16,100 comes out, becomes one Krishna and goes to the palace. So Supreme Lord's greatness is like that. He can do it. But it does take some realization and faith. And we hear the very popular story of the cobbler and the Brahmana. And Narada Muni approaching the cobbler and the Brahmana, both asking, what is the Supreme Lord doing? And when I will be able to come to this pure spirit, his dham, when I have liberation. And when Narada Muni told the Brahmana that Lord is trying to pass the elephant from the eye of the needle, it is too much for the Brahmana, too much of an information. This is like, this is too much of greatness, he couldn't handle it. And he rejected it. Then he is making stories. And then Narada Muni said that Lord said actually 10 million lifetimes are not coming. He told Narada Muni, get lost. It is lie. It's not possible. How can an elephant pass through the needle? And the same problem when he hears this. For him it is wow. What my Lord can do it. It's possible for the Supreme Lord to do it. So the difference is the difference is very clear. The difference is realization. It's not just blind faith. It's a realization. And Narada Muni checked it. And he asked, how do you come to this conclusion? To the cobbler, why do you say that yes, elephant is passing through the eye of the needle? He said, why not? You see a tree, In such a small seed, a massive tree, even the Lord can put. Why not elephant and castle? I think. So these are some realizations based on one's practice that a devotee achieves. And you know, the verse, very popular verse, Anya Abhash Darshanam Jnana Dharma Dhinam Anukulina Krishna Anusirana Bhakti Vrittam. That is the key for this realization, that means practice of pure devotional service. The practice of pure devotional service has to be free from any material desire, whatsoever. And there should be no traces of jnana and karma in those practices. And one has to serve Krishna in favorable way. That is Uttama Bhakti. That is great devotion. So if that is practiced, that means everything done just for the pleasure of Krishna, then these realizations are possible. And of course, it is gradually achieved. One cannot go on and do it. And in that book, there is another pastime. It's included mind boggling, that pastime. When I read it, I immediately went to the room and said, oh, what is this pastime? It took me some time to really sink in. It's a very strong statement Srila Prabhupada makes. One can ask Srila Prabhupada, what do we do in case when we see a man drowning? What should we do when we see someone drowning? As a devotee, what should we do? Prabhupada said, as devotees, we don't interfere in people's dharma. Let him drown. It's a strong statement, actually. But then Prabhupada, because his vision, actually, you'll appreciate Prabhupada's vision. If you really understand this in the next level, Prabhupada said that, but if he doesn't save the man from drowning, people will criticize that, oh, he is a devotee and he let him drown. So for Lokavichar, for the public opinion, and that should not go against Krishna. So for the pleasure of Krishna, we go and save the man. Otherwise, a devotee, Prabhupada said, is not interested in interfering people's karma. Then he quotes this verse, Anyam Lashita Shunyam Gyan Karma Dhyana. Not interested to deal with karma. Yeah, people's karma. For me, I had to close the book and I had to start, sit and think what it means. And but more you think on this, and there are many later pastimes, Prabhupada stresses on a similar point, is that a devotee who does everything for the pleasure of Krishna, he will save a man drowning if he pleases Krishna. Otherwise, he will not interfere in the workings of the material nature. Very, very pastime, actually. But we are not on that stage where we are completely no material desire, no attachment to sense gratification, not at all. Completely working for the pleasure of Krishna. Completely, not at all, it's not at all. We are not in that stage. There's so many traces of material desires in it. And for us to come to the stage to practice the Anandashita verse, hearing, chanting, worshipping the deities, the five prime methods of perfection, meditation, bhagavatam, hearing the holy names, reading is done, hearing the holy names, associating with devotees, worshipping the deities and residing in the holy dham. It may not be immediately practical because too many material desires are there. The other day we were discussing this verse from 10th canto, 1st chapter, verse number 4. Nivritta Trishvera Bhagyamana Bhagavashita Shottamana Vinama Kavuttama Shottamana Vinama. So this verse describes two types of devotees. One is completely free from material desire. Nivritta Krishna. Krishna means material desires. He is free from material desires, this category. So when these type of devotees are there, free from material attachments whatsoever, they can relish Krishna's holy name. When people like Prabhupada, when they worship deities, they actually worship Krishna. Because they see Krishna. Because no material desire is nothing in between. When they reach Bhagavatam, 5th canto doesn't build them. for us, 5th canto is too much. For us, cantos where an elephant is eaten by eagles flying from one planet to another, it's too much of information. We can't speak for the book. We hide it. We have to hide it because we ourselves, our faith is very deep. How can eagles fly from one planet to another, eat elephants? We haven't seen anything, experienced anything. Shishir and Prabhupada mentioning, Matsyadeva becoming 8 miles long, 8 million miles long. I tried, and he told me yesterday to put in calculation and stuff. I said, you can't do too much. You know, how do you, then what is the length of the planet? What is the diameter of the Earth's planet or whatever? It just didn't put it in my calculation, and I changed my thought process and I started taking the class. There's too much of the calculation. So if these things will naturally be an obstacle for us to experience Lord Krishna consciousness because of too much Krishna, too much material desire. And it said that Krishna is unlimited and Krishna is also unlimited. Krishna is unlimited and material desire is also unlimited. But the proportion we reduce our Krishna, our material desire, the dramatic proportion we can experience Krishna also. So then the second type of devotee mentioned in that verse is mostly our category, where that devotee takes the holy name, the study of Srimad Bhagavatam and all the aspects as aushadhi, as medicine. And if that can be taken seriously, then nevrita trishre, that stage can be achieved. So these are some of the points I just thought from this world, where the Supreme Lord, who is very difficult to locate, difficult to understand his activities, if from the platform of taking this as medicine, we can gradually rise and reduce our Krishna material desire, then Krishna can be experienced. So I'll just stop here and see if any questions or comments.
Jai, Jai, Jai.